sind wir. Ah, oh, Herr Jesus, Herr, und so beten wir auch für heute Abend, dass du dich uns weiter offenbarst, Herr, dass du in uns wirkst und auch durch uns wirkst, Herr. Ah, oh, Herr, wenn wir dein Wort lesen, dann gib uns einen Geist der Weisheit und der Offenbarung. Ah, oh, Herr, und erleuchte die Augen unseres Herzens, Herr, dass wir sehen, was auf deinem Herzen ist. Amen. Ja, lob den Herrn. Es ist schön, dass schon verschiedene Geschwister etwas vom Wort gebracht haben. Es entlastet beim Mitteilen.
The saints have already shared some portions of the word. That is a contribution, and we should also share all together, pray for all the saints who share and who give testimonies that the Lord can reveal himself to us. We have got the title tonight, The Work of God. It is not so easy to speak about the work of God, and we do not want to approach it just in an analytic way, but our burden is rather that the Lord can reveal himself to us, that he can enlighten the eyes of our heart. It's not possible otherwise. There are so many human methods to transfer knowledge, and today we've got excellent methods using motivation and all kinds of methods to transfer knowledge. I am not so much gifted, and even if I was gifted, it wouldn't be helpful. We all rather need this prayer, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show me what is on your heart. Show me what you are doing today. It cannot work in any other way. And I'm sure that in these verses in Ephesians, we see a wonderful sequence. The Lord shows us our background very clearly. Isn't that remarkable? It's remarkable. We need to know where we come from. What is our origin? It has become very clear this morning. The old man does not have a good background. There are a lot of bad things to report about him. And it is a bad thing, a whole scope of bad things, from very evident negative things right to the old man who can present himself in a very nice way, but still it's the old man. From A to Z, in whatever way you may see or meet him, it is still the old man. And the Lord, he terminated the old man. Isn't that encouraging? And verse 3 says that we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. And the old man in that shape is very evident, although in the world it is no longer clear and it is acceptable, but to the believer the lust of the flesh is something very evident, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Isn't that interesting to see that the flesh has a will, the desires of the flesh? In German, it is will of the flesh. We have heard about God's will, 1 Peter 4. We should use the time we have left to fulfill God's will. But to the contrary, there's also the desire, the will of the flesh. And the flesh always try to push through its will in any way, good or bad. It always try to impose itself. If it is not dealt with, if it is not brought under the control of the Spirit of the cross, then it will break through again and do its will. And there is not just the will of the flesh, of the lust, the desires of the flesh. And it continues, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The mind, or the thoughts in German, it is thoughts. Are not thoughts something good? Somebody has been thinking in his mind. He did really consider and think. That is much more, with more investment and diligence. That wouldn't be, isn't that acceptable? But according to Ephesians 2, it is also in the category of once and old man. Fulfilling the desires of the mind. In Stuttgart, we've got an excellent library, and there you've got thousands of books on any subject. And when I go there with our children, sometimes I think it's a nice place to go, but in fact, it's a place where so many human thoughts are being put on paper, good or bad. But it's still human thoughts. Who still goes to a library nowadays? People are they are much faster using those nice small devices, and with a few clicks you get what you want. But there are also lots of thoughts laid down. Good thoughts and less good thoughts. Thoughts that are evidently and of the flesh. And we know that we need books and also these devices, but we should know that we have to be in control of those, because the Lord has transferred us into a different realm. God, He is rich in mercy, and because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It's wonderful. He has transferred us into a new realm. We were dead, but we were made alive together with Christ. Death means the end of all the human things. When you create a company, you need living human beings. Or for whatever activity you want to undertake, you need human beings who are able to do something. Humanly speaking, death means the end of everything, but spiritually speaking, it is the beginning. Isn't that wonderful? When all the human things come to an end, when a human being has to say, that's it, that's the end. And right there, the Lord starts His work in resurrection. Praise the Lord. Those who were opposing the Lord when He was living on the earth, They thought once we put him on the cross, that's it, that's his end. Including those who were with him, they were shocked because they also believed that this was the end. His death on the cross. But we were included in his death. And we are also made alive together. Where did Paul get this revelation from that we are included in his death? It is a mystery. And the Lord has got to reveal it to us. What the Lord has done should not just be something objective, but he has to reveal it to us. We need to realize that we are included. Everything the Lord has accomplished is the foundation, is the basis for his work today. Without the work he accomplished, there would not be any spiritual work on the earth. Through the work the Lord has accomplished, there's a way. Let's read some more verses. 2 Corinthians 5. I suggest that a few young brothers read these verses. Some brothers with a loud or at least a distinct voice. 2 Corinthians 5:15-17. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Keep this in mind during the sharing. The new creation, you should keep it in mind. So, in fact, the Lord died that those who should not live any longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose again. After resurrection, what was the next step in the Lord's work? His ascension.
Ja, lob den Herrn. Er ist nicht nur auferstanden, sogar aufgefahren.
Not only resurrected, but he also ascended. Lord, we want to know you as the ascended Lord.
Ist er auch zum Thron aufgefahren?
He ascended to the throne.
Sondern was hat er gemacht?
And what did he do? He was seated in the heavenly places, but not alone. Today the Lord is sitting on the throne, but not alone, but together. Somebody said that the Christian life starts with sitting.
Ja. Möchtest du gerne sitzen?
You like to sit?
Wer möchte gerne sitzen? Je nachdem,
Sometimes you feel like sitting, but sometimes you feel like doing something. Newly saved believers want to do something, but the first step is that the Lord seats us together with Him. And so He seats us together with Him on the throne in the heavenly places. We are seated together with Him in Christ Jesus. Where are you seated today? In the heavenly places. How wonderful. We are not sitting here in Stuttgart, but we are on the throne. And we share everything He is and He has accomplished. It means that we are above everything. We were taken away from the earth and we are seated together with the Lord and we share in everything He is and He does, and we have been given a new position. It would be so wonderful to always remain there. And in fact, that is possible. We can always thank the Lord. Lord, I have been seated together with you in the heavenly places. In our daily problems, when the things of the earth grow so big, we can confess, Lord, I have been seated together with you in the heavenly places. Isn't that wonderful? It gives us such a good position. And Paul goes even further here. We will see in Ephesians 4 where we see what it means that the Lord, when He died, He descended to the place, the lower parts of the earth where the dead people are. It is even more. It would be enough to realize that He is sitting on the throne. How many human beings are able to reach a throne, even if it is a small throne, a throne in their company, being the team leader or the member of a board or even president of the board. Now imagine being seated on the throne. But the Lord has seated us on the throne. Every human effort is given a different meaning, a different proportion. Being seated on the throne, that is something more. In Ephesians 4, let's read together. 7-10. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this He ascended, what does it mean but that He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So here the Lord, it says the Lord descended and also ascended above all the heavens. He couldn't have risen higher, and he has also filled all things. Who can fill all things? The Lord did even more, and this becomes very practical. Not only did he fill everything, but he has given some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Couldn't we have gone on with these heavenly things? The Lord has accomplished everything in order to do his work on the earth. Here today, on the earth, he wants to do his work. He has his work going on for the equipping of the saints. The Lord is equipping the saints. For what? For the work of ministry. So in his ascension, the Lord has given gifts, human beings who are cooperating with him in oneness. And this is the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that is what the Lord is doing today, what he has been doing for 2,000 years. He is sitting on the throne, but he has a work going on the earth. When we believed in the Lord, we were given a wonderful salvation. We pass from death to life. But if that was all, it would be too little. We also need to see what the Lord wants to do today. We are sometimes so proud of what we have already with our salvation. The Lord, however, he wants to move on. When a first grader has learned to read, he's so proud. Now I can read. He can read everything that is written. What could there be more? There are more grades to come. Even if human life moves on, how much more the spiritual life? The Lord, he takes us on step by step in his work today, and he wants to lead us to the edifying of the body of Christ, the work of the ministry. So we should pray, Lord, reveal your work to me, the edifying of your body. If the one, the Lord who is sitting on the throne, is edifying the throne, that must be so weighty. It should go far beyond just the heavenly things. He is doing the work of edification today on the earth. Isn't that wonderful? He has a work going on. The living God has his work. What does Ephesians 2 say?
Aber was sagt er über sein Werk? Sein Werk sind wir.
It says that we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. Isn't that a bold statement? We are his workmanship.
Ein starkes Wort.
It's a strong word. The church is his workmanship. God's work on the earth today. We are his workmanship.
Und ich habe ein bisschen geforscht, dieses Werk, was hier genannt
wird. I studied a little bit the workmanship that is mentioned here. If you look into the concordance and you check the word workmanship and you look what the Greek word means, you find that it is used in the New Testament just twice, in Romans 1, verse 20. Could somebody read that verse for us? Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That refers to his work in creation when the earth was void and empty. He did a work of creation.
An der wir heute sehen können, was der lebendige Gott getan hat.
And the creation shows us today what the living God has done.
Ich habe manchmal nicht so viel Blick dafür, aber es ist manchmal spannend, mit Menschen zu reden.
Sometimes I don't realize it, but it can be fascinating to talk with people who have an eye to understand all this, the flowers and the plants, the whole creation. It was created in a such a wonderful way with so much wisdom. How everything is connected. Some plants, they depend on other plants for their growth. How everything matches and manifests a glory no human being could make. How the glory always comes up again and then disappears.
Wenn die Menschen was machen, es verschwindet auch, aber es macht oft eine Menge Müll.
And without leaving any waste. When humans do a work, it also disappears normally, but there's a lot of waste. Some products today, from the outset, you know that they will be difficult, it will be difficult to dispose of, to get rid of the waste, but what the Lord has made disappears, goes through death and resurrection, but comes back in the same glory. So just the creation we can see with our eyes. And Paul here in Romans, he says that we can see his eternal power and godly attributes here on the earth, in creation, we can see God's work, a work no human being could imitate, even using the best machinery.
Werk, das zweite Mal,
And then there is the second work, the second time his work is mentioned, that is in Ephesians 2.
Es gibt verschiedene Übersetzungen für dieses Werk. Auch ein Meisterwerk.
There are different renderings in the translations, like his masterpiece.
Jemand, ein kleines Kind, was macht ein
Meisterwerk? When a little child makes a masterpiece, it also has a certain glory, especially when you know that it was made by a child. When an adult makes a masterpiece, it has also a certain glory. If a gifted person does a masterpiece, then the glory is greater. And an expert's eye would be able to notice that this was done by a master. But what about when the living God has a work,
das muss doch wirklich ein Meisterwerk sein.
That must really be a masterpiece.
Banal klingt, sein Werk, sein Meisterwerk.
It just says in such a simple way, we are his workmanship,
ja.
Or his masterpiece.
Das ist schon auch sehr bemerkenswert, gell? Paulus grenzt es ab. Er grenzt es ab zu den Menschenwerken.
And he makes a distinction with human works in verse
8.
By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Ist ein klares Statement.
This is a clear statement. Not of yourselves.
Mit einer, wie soll ich sagen, einem Seufzer der Entspannung sagen, Herr, nicht.
That is something you can repeat for yourself with a sigh of relief. Lord, not of myself. When we serve, we can say, Lord, not out of myself. Not of yourselves.
Gottes Gabe ist es.
It is the gift of God.
So,
not of works.
Andere Werke, die hier auftauchen, gell? Die hier plötzlich sichtbar werden. Also das ist jetzt nicht das dritte Vorkommen von dem Wort Werk, sondern es sind jetzt andere Werke, gell? Jetzt sprechen wir von menschlichen Werken.
And now human works are mentioned. Human works,
die haben keinen Bezug, die haben keinen Anteil am Werk Gottes.
Do not have any relation with God's work. Paul stresses this very much.
Spricht dagegen menschliche Weisheit.
And he speaks against human wisdom.
1. Korinther 2, Vers 4 und 5. Meine Rede und meine Predigt geschah nicht mit überredenden Worten.
1. Corinthians 2.
Mit Erweisung des Geistes und der Kraft.
He says that he was not speaking with human words or to convince.
Auf Menschenweisheit beruhe. Davor hatte Paulus, wenn ich das mal so in modernen Worten sagen darf, Respekt.
Not words which man's wisdom teaches, but with which the Holy Spirit teaches.
Er hätte Weisheit gehabt, also in religiösen Dingen, im jüdischen Glauben.
He would have some wisdom could have offered some wisdom. He was very knowledgeable, but concerning the spiritual basis. They didn't want their faith to be based on human wisdom. God's work cannot be based on human wisdom. Sometimes it seems as if human wisdom could contribute something. No need to get into details. There are so many types of human wisdom, how you can transfer certain things by using human methods. But human wisdom cannot build God's work. What is the opposite? It's God's power. Human thoughts. Might be good, a nice thought. There are nice thoughts. Interesting thoughts. Some people have the ability to make new links among things, and this is a new side, a new thought. And others try to transfer things into the modern times, enriching it, developing on it. In a disruptive way, as people say nowadays, means the old things have passed and they are restored in a new version. It's just in a new wrapping. If you look more closely, you would say, well, I know this, I've seen that before. That is human wisdom, just a new shape. Old rubbish in a new shape. We need to look through you, need to look through in this world. Things that are presented in a new way, are they not probably something old, something we know, something that has been exposed in earlier times as the work of the enemy or the wisdom of the old man? Just look deeper, and then you will realize we have had that before. And sometimes you already know how it continues. May the Lord preserve us. May the Lord save us. He wants everything, put an end to everything human. Human wisdom, human ability, human strength. And he wants it to be done through his power, through his spirit. In the Old Testament, there is a lot of reference made to the works or the work of the hands. Look, for example, in Deuteronomy 4:28. Deuteronomy 4, verse 28. And there you will serve God, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. The work of man's hands is referred to here. They cannot see and not smell, but these are idols that are worshipped. And every age had certain things that seemed so important, human-made things that we're not able to see or to smell, the work of man's hands. May the Lord always give us the grace to look through. What else is referred to man's or to the work in the Old Testament?
Das eine könnt ihr nachlesen, vielleicht morgen bei der Morgenwache oder heute Abend. Der Vers ist auch noch da in 2. Mose 30 und am dritten Punkt ist ein Werk, das Werk des Scheibenbereiters.
Another work in Exodus 30.
Ein schönes Werk. Ein Werk, ja, man könnte vielleicht sagen, der ein Duftöl gemacht hat.
That is the work of the person who prepared the anointing oil. That's a nice work. A good smelling anointing oil at the same time is a type.
Die Salbung, der Heilige Geist,
of the anointing by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit who teaches us everything and who leads us into all the reality. That is the anointing oil flowing. The Lord has done this work on the earth. The Lord, he went through death and resurrection to ascend on the throne, but at the same time, he has also given us the Spirit. He has sent the Spirit, and the Spirit does his work in us today, and that is a permanent work, a work of an abiding glory. Another work that is referred to in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's very helpful to use the search function in the concordance. Nehemiah speaks a lot about the work. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. Nehemiah, he had come from Babylon to build up Jerusalem, to build up again what had been destroyed, to build the Lord's city. And a big part of this work was the rebuilding of the wall. The city did not have any walls, and that was a bad condition because the city was without protection. And then some people started rebuilding the wall.
Dass Gott ihren Rat zunichte gemacht hatte, Da konnten wir alle zur Mauer zurückkehren, jeder an sein Werk. Und es geschah von diesem
die eine Hälfte meiner jungen Männer well, he didn't say where he's reading.
Und ihre andere Hälfte hielt die Speere, die Schilde und die Bogen und die Schuppenpanzer bereit. Und die Obersten standen hinter dem ganzen Haus Juda. Das an der Mauer baute, lob den Herrn. Und die Lastträger trugen ihre Last folgendermaßen mit der einen Hand
ab. And yeah, they were building with their swords and their spears and their bows and some were building, the others were held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. They have noticed that the wall was of crucial importance, and the enemies, and they were against the rebuilding of the wall. They wanted to have a city without wall. And they were opposing the people, but the people, they undertook to build the wall, and they accepted the battle. The battle was mainly to hold the weapons and with their other hand to continue building the wall. May we all build in the Lord's work. May we all build up the city. May we rebuild the wall. Chapter
5:16. Lob den Herrn. Wer packt mit an?
I also continued the work on the wall. He also continued. Let us all continue. The Lord is working already, so let us also walk in his works. I also continued the work on this wall. And we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. They didn't buy land. Would have been good to buy land, as you never know whether there will always be sufficient foodstuff to buy. He has set priorities. We cannot do everything simultaneously. Did you notice? Did you realize? Sometimes I think I can do many things at the same time, but sometimes my brothers and sisters of the Lord, they let me know that I'm unable to do everything at the same time. The Lord wants to teach us to set priorities. This is nothing reproachable to buy land, nothing wrong with buying land. Probably it was even necessary to till the ground and to have fields, but they rather focused on the work, and they helped in the work. All my servants were gathered there for the work. How wonderful! What a wonderful testimony in the church life. What do we do? All my servants were gathered there for the work.
6:9.
For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. That is the danger, to get tired and the enemy hopes to see us getting tired and being weakened in the work and stopping the work. And Nehemiah, he says, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Lord, strengthen our hands. May the Lord strengthen us to do his work." And when the enemies, they heard it, they were afraid. And they realized that this work was done by our God. The enemies were disheartened. That's verse 16. The enemies were disheartened and in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God.
So, haben wir in diesen Beispielen schon gesehen, wie das Werk Gottes ist.
These examples, they have shown us how God's work is. We are his work, created. There is a new creation.
God has geschaffen. Wir sind geschaffen.
We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now we can cooperate. We can help and walk in the good works God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. What are these good works? The building, edifying his house. That is the focus of the good works. They are focused on the Lord's work. There are so many good things we can do, but they are not mentioned here or encouraging us to do, if possible, anything, everything good you could do. But it says, the good works God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. The Lord needs people who are just walking in the works prepared by him, asking and seeking, "Lord, what did you prepare? Is it just something good, or was it prepared by you? Is that the time to do it?" The Lord must save us again and again from just doing good works to the works he has prepared beforehand. That will be the right focus, and that will be oriented towards his work and complete his work. And this can be done by the Spirit's guiding. We have the anointing today. We have the Spirit today, the Spirit who teaches us the good works. Sometimes we just have to wait when things are not clear. Do not just set out to do anything well. I met this person, so I concluded that I have to do this or that. But much better that the Lord tells us, instructs us, even if we see certain circumstances, let's seek the Lord again and ask him, "Lord, I met the person today because you wanted to tell me something, or did I just run into him?" You know what I mean. May the Lord give us the grace to be so clear in our spirit and confidence in our work that we can just be in the good works prepared by him. I have some more things on my in my notes, but I think we don't have the time. It is always according to the word of the truth, according to the healthy teaching. When we went through the epistles to Timothy and Titus, we noticed this word, the healthy teaching. The Lord has given us the healthy teaching. The worldly people speak a lot about healthy food or about diseases, but what we have is the healthy teaching. The word of the scripture is so healthy, no need to add anything. It is so healthy, it gives us a framework for everything the Lord wants to do. May we know this truth, may we know this healthy teaching, and it is also according to the grace. Out of grace you have been saved. What the Lord is doing should be done out of grace. The works prepared beforehand, they are accompanied by grace. Sometimes we have to do something under the Lord's guiding, and that was not planned by us, but the Lord tells us that has to be done right now. But what is very typical is that it goes with grace. The Lord gives us the grace and the supply. He gives us the rich supply. Praise the Lord for the works we do, but by grace. And finally, about our time. One of the most precious goods in this age is time. Even small children, they say sometimes, I haven't got time. You're laughing. I also laugh sometimes and wonder how can this be possible. They have just started school and they tell me I don't have time. Sometimes it may be an excuse. And it's also sometimes an excuse for our priorities. We've got time for what has our priority. May we be encouraged to consecrate our time to the Lord, to consecrate our time for the Lord's work, and to walk in the works God has prepared beforehand.